Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's dumbest podcast network.
Shake that thing, miss. Harry Potter, shake that thing, miss. I have no strong shake that thing feelings about Harry and the Potter.
Hey, and welcome to I Have No Strong Feelings About Harry Potter. That was our second theme song, just easing you into the episode, ultra cool style.
And here's our third theme song. Wow, 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 wow. I don't really know how to do the Doctor Who one.
All right, well, here's our fourth theme song.
Okay.
Pot off, I'll take you on, Harry, to take on anyone.
Okay.
Well, I don't know.
No, it's great.
It doesn't feel great. I got to be honest.
Oh, Harry Potter, didn't.
There we go. And actually, now it's good.
Yeah, now I love it.
No, Quirrell, don't hit me. I'll be a good boy.
Quirrell.
Yeah. Hey, we are going from 58:27 to 1 hour, 3 minutes, and 14 seconds into Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone.
It's true. Everything you've said so far is true.
I'm glad we begin this scene on a staircase, Demi. And in that shot of the children on a staircase, there is a clearly visible portrait of Anne Boleyn.
Yes, tell us who that is.
Which is not moving.
And she I did not know.
One of the former wives of Henry VIII who got executed.
Yes.
And her portrait is not alive.
It's not
so
alive.
It's just a portrait of a dead person that I guess is kept there as a threat to all the living portraits to remind them not to fucking count their blessings too much.
Well, no, but like the whole reason she's there is because she was executed for being a witch, yeah?
Yeah, there are allegations. That is the one theme that people have been able to find that her portrait is around is because she was accused posthumously of witchcraft.
A note that I just took here is on the right of the portrait of Anne Boleyn is a picture of Grunty.
Oh, that's so great that they're doing actual Banjo-Kazooie awareness.
Yeah. And that's good. And it's ugly Grunty too. So when, you know, she's a yucky witch.
Not the bad ending credits for Banjo-Kazooie where you get to see, I don't know,
fuckable
to
Grunty.
Temper that feeling of finally losing all of your honey as Banjo the Bear.
As soon as
you
she got
that dime Grunty.
Totally. As soon as she got hot, they called her Cunty.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because you wanted to get inside of hers.
Got you. Damn, they thought of everything in that
game. Yeah, yeah. And I didn't like it, actually.
Do you want to hear my Gruntilda dirty talk?
Yes. Re-rah, re-rah, rah. Okay. And basement flooded.
Okay, good.
Swear to God.
They get up these
stairs. Oh, these shorts, they are not recovering.
No.
They're smouldering.
Oh, no.
That's so weird because they were
so
drenched
wet,
a second ago.
Hot.
They got so wet, they got fire hot.
Oh, they got so wet, they went out the other side and became dangerously dry. You know how parts of the ocean keep catching fire?
Yeah, I thought that was weird. Global warming.
We are on the staircase. The staircase, of course, starts moving, which Hermione, again, is furious at the boys for not knowing, regardless of the fact that Harry literally knows nothing about the environment he's been thrown into, and she's read a book about school like a nerd.
No, let me show you where the clitoris is. I read about it in Hogwarts, A History.
Hermione, there's a deleted scene in the later movies where Hermione has her first orgasm by just pointing out her clitoris.
She's just so happy knowing. She knows where it is. Okay, so this is one thing that I really liked about this scene was as the staircase is moving.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's said earlier on by Percy the Weasel.
Yeah, because this is a terrible place
where
nothing works right.
Where nothing works and children die on the daily. Mm. As it's pointed out, a couple scenes previous by Percy the Weasel Ratcunt is the staircases move. They basically have a mind of their own, I guess, like the paintings, but maybe less? So, like, kind of like if a painting is a dog, a staircase is like a lemming?
It doesn't seem to be, like, ruled by any kind of logic.
It's just sort of like
it's just like,
that.
Oh, yeah, the stairs move. And it's like, why? Well, why can't you just make something nice?
Why don't you just fix it? If, like, you know magic, it's like, did they do that because they thought it would be fun?
Damn, if these staircases move, if only there was some kind of spell that would make them not move, like building.
Like not doing spells.
Yeah.
Maybe, I think it's probably because they were like, it needs to be a magic staircase, so they got a Glock and shot a regular staircase and made a ghost staircase.
I see. I will say, it would be good if the stairs moved in one certain way, and that's how the wizards could invent an escalator. But that's my one punch up to this.
Yeah.
Hey, you're right on the stairs moving. They should help me. They shouldn't kick in and be like, hey, you know where you're going? The floor you're expressly forbidden to go under pain of death.
Hello, it's me, the Hogwarts staircase. The way that I move is murder.
I move only to guide a child into the path of a swinging axe blade. That's my friend.
All of this part of Hogwarts is Dark Souls.
Yeah, yeah. There's as soon as they step off the staircase, a gauntlet doesn't start in front of them, drops on top of them like an anvil.
Absolutely.
And then starts activating for the next student to find their bodies. But the great thing about this staircase is once it moves and it clinks into place, like on the next floor that it's going to, it jiggles a bit. Like as they're walking across it, it jiggles.
Because
like
sweet.
You can just imagine the absolute Trent holding it up, like just kind of like, oh no, these heavy 11-year-olds. There's three of them.
Do you think is it possible that there's just an army of poltergeists doing it? I know that we're referring to the on-set person who had to be like...
On set?
Ugh. Oh, okay. But could it be possible that this is just an army of Peeveses? Who were like, all right, boys, time to move the stairs.
Peeves was cut from the taping of the movie, but not from working on the movie.
Yeah.
So they
I believe they green-screened Rick Mayall out of the movie but had him move all the staircases.
They did have him move all of the staircases, and any mischief that anybody else got up to, he was Andy Serkis'd in a suit.
And I think in all the scenes where John Cleese is flying around as Nearly Headless Nick, they've actually green-screened out Rick Mayall having John Cleese on his shoulders.
On his shoulders?
We then end up in the third floor with a lovely pan over a creepy statue that looks like just a blown up Warhammer 40K miniature.
It really does. It's,
right?
It's
like an Empire flagellant for all my real nerds out there. That's Warhammer Fantasy, Age of Sigmar shit.
Got nothing to do with that. My hymen just grew back. And I agree with you, though. It does look like they kind of just laid some soft pastry over a suffering dude.
Yeah. It doesn't. Like,
there was a Glenn having a bad day, and they were like, "Let's put a shower curtain on top of him."
This is the first person that I agree with in Hogwarts. Whoever made the call to take that statue and put it where people aren't, great job.
Yeah,
that does not
really
belong near the front fucking doors.
Really
like, hey guys,
work.
Remember suffering?
Yeah,
cool, huh?
Fun and good. Wait, no. What you guys think is right? So, what does Harry say? We're not meant. We're not meant to be here. We're not meant to be here.
Yeah.
We're not supposed to be here.
I would say, though, it feels like they're very much supposed to be there because the building is guiding them in there.
Yeah.
Like in More Experienced Lover, taking your hand by the wrist and guiding it down to the clitoris shaft. To point. Oh,
the shaft of my clitoris.
You have a lengthened pull clitoris.
It. Pull yeah. on it.
It's so cool.
When... Why don't we make like rat mazes like that, where it can just move and be like, "Yeah, you're right." Just give the rat a sense of accomplishment without like making it figure anything out.
It'd be nice.
So am I thinking of hamsters? Because I feel like rats also go in mazes.
I think maybe no, rats do go in mazes.
Yeah,
I think it's possible to put a rat in a maze, and after a set amount of time, take the rat out and give it cheese to congratulate it for attempting.
Yeah,
and I will say this is the most millennial shit.
No, I was just about to say.
Yeah.
Millennials.
They end up in the third floor where torches just keep lighting behind them as they flee from Mrs. Norris.
From Mrs. Filch, otherwise known as Mrs. Norris, the fuckable cat.
Yeah, she kept her first marriage's name just to throw people off the scent, but she is a fuckable cat.
Mrs. Norris, oh my God, that cat's married.
Yeah, she's even got a ring.
Who's this?
It's Tiny.
It's pursed.
Cute.
It's pursed. She needs some cat metamucil.
Oh.
So who do you think Miss Norris is married to?
Oh, gosh. I want to say McGonagall. Would it be surprising that McGonagall turns into a male cat?
Sorry, Tom. I just want you to think about what you just said because...
I mean, is it addressed in any way?
No, I think she would do it. No, babe, I'm just going to say that.
Take this cancel energy the fuck away from me.
Lesbians do exist.
Ugh. Fine. I'll cop to that. But
stupid
I will
fuck.
Say.
You stupid fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, you fell into my trap.
Yeah, just.
Can you imagine?
The Harry Potter world would not accommodate this amount of.
They absolutely would. And can you imagine my Venus fly trap of a pussy just closing around you, being like, no, the straight.
God damn it. Shaking I was doing so well.
I know you were.
Meh.
So they are running through a door. They are fleeing from Filch. Well, they're fleeing from the cat because Filch is obviously close behind.
Mm-hmm.
Make it to a door.
As they run, the torches light up behind them
In
a very cool style.
Like a clapper without the clap.
Yeah, you're right. Well, maybe the clapping is done by, I don't know, heartbeat or... Mm. I would love to know what the smart home that the Hogwarts has installed runs on.
Mm. Me too.
Filch is close on their heels and they find themselves at a door. Hermione... consults her memory and finds in the chapter 7 of the Book of Common Spells,
yeah.
Alohomora, yeah. Which is an unlocking spell. And Ron, who has been given the gift to just unlock whatever door he wants, be it whatever criminal picks. He wants to be, uh-huh. Has not learned that.
No.
He is very surprised.
That. And also, I will say, I'm sure there's kind of a magical loophole to this, but... The lock that they've unlocked it's a lever behind a mound. It's like, did you try turning it up
a quarter of
an inch, Harry?
Maybe a lower.
Because he gets there and he grabs like the ring, ring that is basically functioning as a door handle.
Yes.
And he shakes it and he doesn't twist it upwards.
Maybe Alohomora only opens doors that should. Like, this. You're right, there's no lock mechanism.
There's no lock mechanism. It's just a lever behind a triangle. And then we see Alohomora and it lifts. So really, she could have been like, Wingardium Leviosa, and it lifts the lock.
That is the secret.
And they open the door.
Is she accidentally cast the levitating spell and just open the door normally?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You idiots.
Oh, fuck.
God, it's
You're
good.
Right. Harry, confronted with a door that's not for a cupboard, completely lost his cool.
when he's not sure that there will be an entire wax apple and a tiny horseman behind a door, he can't open even an inch.
Yeah. We end up inside the door. Filch turns up, leaves. They realize that there was a reason that the door is locked, which is, of course, a big three-headed dog. Mm,
yeah, named Fluffy that we find out later on.
Certainly. Right now, all we know is that this thing is big. They flee from it and
Yeah. He dummy thick.
Okay. All right. This is cool.
Yeah.
This is groovy. Do you think that when Fluffy licks his penis, two of the heads go like, oh.
Yeah, and one of them is just like, do you like that?
Yeah. He's whispering into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. The weird.
Oh, Fluffy. Actually, I have some trivia about Fluffy.
Please.
Fluffy's played by 90 horses.
I don't think that's
glued together. Yeah, it's true.
Okay.
And sort of some of the horses had a lot of bones reset. I mean, it says reset here. I think they mean broken to create the teeth of the dog.
Yeah, right. Well, that's
Ron is played by half a horse.
So he was the just back. Made of leftover horses.
Yes.
Right. That's interesting, actually, that yeah. they kind of apply that.
I'd say it's interesting.
Use every piece of the buffalo philosophy to this film. Well, they managed to. So you say Fluffy was made of 90 horses?
90.
And I assume 91 turned up.
90 and one third, but you don't really. It's like, well, it's a 0.33333, so like, whatever. A horse was made out of half a Ron, and Hermione was made out of the lips. Horse.
Okay.
And the rest of it was Emma Watson.
Yeah.
So it was Emma Watson with a horse's lips.
Gotcha.
Which lips do you think I'm talking about?
I don't want to get into it.
It's the face ones, Tom.
Cool. Hey, I will say you don't flimsy defense to float that and then be like, you freak.
Yucky.
Even as a
you
bit.
Yucky boy.
Flimsy.
All right. So
we end up up. A staircase away from the dog.
A staircase where, I'm going to guess, the Gryffindor common room.
Whoa. We have a moment where Hermione brings to their attention that the dog was standing on a trapdoor, and Ron replies, I wasn't looking at its feet. I was preoccupied with its heads. And Hermione's like, well, I was looking at its feet. Yum, yum, yum. I want to go back there, get some snaps.
Yummy, yummy, sucky, sucky, licky, licky. I'm Hermione.
I want to get between those toes and turn that toe cheese into toe jam.
That's all we do in the real life is turn cheese into jam.
You know how cheese turns easily into jam?
I saw at least 50 bigger stringers between those big foot fingers.
Do we have anything else to say about this scene or... Well, shall we move on to the pièce de résistance of this chunk?
Well, there's a big fun. Oh wait, do you mean which bit? Do you mean?
Oh, onto the next. The outside portion.
Hermione. Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to bed before either of you two get another clever idea to get us killed or worse. Expelled.
Mm-hmm.
Very funny joke. But yeah. I remember watching the VHS and being like. Hey, that has the cadence of a thing. I'm going to chuckle.
Yes, it is one of the perfect. That is a joke, and I recognize that, so it is funny.
Yes.
I will say Hermione's ambition in life seems to be to become a moaning myrtle. If you take your eyes off her for a second, she's going to slit her wrist just so she can be at school forever.
Absolutely.
Right? Just to study.
Oh, yeah, Moaning
just
Myrtle.
Just floating through books.
Do you know what's fucked up is that we just don't think about how Moaning Myrtle was murdered by a huge fucking snake.
Yeah, it really flies under the radar for the series.
And, like, why aren't there two gaping toother holes?
Well, wasn't she looked at?
She was looked at. I'm a dumber.
Isn't the whole thing with that snake...
Pointedly,
that it kills you by looking at you?
No.
You dumb.
Because there's a moment.
You fucking idiot.
I don't.
Excuse me.
What? Yeah.
You suck.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, Hey,
yeah?
I'm sorry.
Well, that joke is followed up by Ron going,
I'm sorry that I fucking suck.
Don't worry about it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Now let's get on with the podcast.
Okay.
Before you come up with a clever idea to make me suck.
That joke is followed up by Ron saying, she needs to get her priorities in order.
Which is very funny as well.
Yeah, we got to a wonderful outdoors scene where Oliver Wood explains Quidditch to Harry.
Oliver Wood, played by Sean Biggerstaff. And he brings out a trunk with her on the front end. Harry's also carrying, I believe.
Yeah, I know we talked about this in the other episodes, but we should say that you met Sean just through, like,
he just likes comedy bullshit.
And he would come to shows.
Yeah, so Sean Biggerstaff, he plays Oliver Wood. And is an actor in a bunch of other things and is, like, just the coolest guy. He's very funny.
Yeah.
We're friends.
And I will say, he isn't burly like J.K. Rowling originally wrote Oliver Wood to be.
Oh, did she write him burly?
She wrote him to be burly.
Because I will say that Sean isn't, like, you know, he's not a weedy little fella, but he's definitely not burly. Like, he's played Peter Pan before.
Yes, absolutely. And it shows.
Yeah.
Also,
interesting, wait, what?
Interesting fact about his appearance. The Lego minifigure of Oliver Wood is identical to the Lego minifigure of Mutt Williams from the Indiana Jones Lego line. Mutt Williams is played by Shia LaBeouf. Here you go. Check this out.
Oh, no.
So
no,
it's just the head and hair.
No,
but there's Oliver. And there's Mutt Williams.
No, Oliver. Sean,
it's the same face and hair as Shia LaBeouf.
Oh, except that apparently Oliver Wood has, like, gangrene or something because his hands are maroon.
Yeah, well, you know, he's probably wearing some sort of broom glove.
Fuck.
Interesting.
Oh, no. Do you know that there's like Seeker in Quidditch. There's Seeker, there's Beater, there's Keeper, and there's Janitor, who uses the broom just on the ground to clean up all of the dead snitches from previous games.
Hey, wait, doesn't the Janitor sweep the boys aside as they die?
Yeah, once all their bones fall out of their bodies from the vicious game. Sean is the coolest. I've actually never talked to him about Harry Potter, which is fun.
Well, you don't have any strong feelings about it.
I don't have any strong feelings about it. But I don't know. Maybe I'll ask him to send us something for this or talk to him about it. But so he explains to him about
he explains each ball in turn, which is a normal way to explain a game.
That makes sense to me.
You start any explanation of basketball by holding out the basketball and saying, this is a basketball.
Yeah.
It is your enemy and you have to chase it around the court and beat it into submission and then store it in our team's vault
yeah.
for 3 midden staffs.
Lest the enemy break in.
The object of the game? Simply to survive.
This is the basketball. Possession of it means everything. Hold on to it until the next full moon and our team will reign supreme. Oh, our village will have a fine season should your hands not leave the basketball.
Oh, if you can keep the midriff hog under your cape for the entire game, we get a Wiggins feast. A full turkey's face. So also in basketball, obviously, you have to catch the snitch because otherwise the other team will probably catch the snitch and they'll win.
Obviously, yeah. You get 10 points for every basket. But
10 points for every basket, but none of that matters because as soon as you catch the snitch, the rest of the other team drop dead.
Yeah. So
and
I
you win the game.
Yeah. The all of Quidditch sucks explains each ball in turn. First off, the quaffle. The most boring and silliest named of the balls.
It's not magic, as far as I can tell. It's just like a light-ish medicine ball.
Yeah, it's not. It's just a leather ball that they throw from a piece to the other, and it is used to play a nice, normal game of sports that seems like it could just exist without the snitch being involved at all.
Yeah.
Then there are the bludgers, which are sentient balls imbued with rage.
Mm. And that's fun because this is my favorite thing. it's just like... He just hands Harry a bat and it's like, like, I think you're going to need this. And it's like, and then he's like, oh, look, it's coming back. And the bludger comes back towards him and Harry just fucking whacks it through this statue's arms. And can you imagine if Oliver Wood was like, what the fuck are you doing? You're supposed to just like airplane lead it back to its home. What the fuck? It's sentient.
That's my friend.
That is my mother's...
That is my mother's. That is both my mother's, you
that
fucking psycho.
That is both
psycho.
Of my mother's. They were joined together in sin.
So those were the bludgers. They are made out of iron. Did you know that?
Sure they are. Sure.
I will and say, in the films, it doesn't look like they are. It looks like they're leather, but they're supposed to be iron.
Because why would they fucking be iron? Why would they be iron if you're using, what, are the bats made out of, what, kryptonite or some shit?
Even if they are, hitting that would just break your arm.
It would just break all of your bones. It would shatter them into 20 pieces. Like, why?
Yeah.
Why? There's no reason.
After explaining the bludgers, I do have down here as a note, Sean Biggerstaff does some nice space work to get the bludger in the chest.
Oh, he really does.
Yeah,
he really makes it. Like,
there's one shot where the bludger. I'm sorry to cut you off, but
no, please.
There's one shot where the bludger is clearly thrown to him from off screen, and he just catches it in a nice low, like rugby ball catch, and then, but then it has to go to ground and kind of struggle with it, and then
get it back
put
in the box,
it into the box.
Yeah, and I think that's a really fucking hard thing to do.
Oh, it's. It honestly is the most embarrassing
to
thing
make
you can
something
do as an
light
actor.
Look heavy. Is so embarrassing and difficult.
And to make it look alive. To make it look like you're struggling against something.
I think Sean does a really good job there.
Yeah. then, of course, everyone's favorite ball. Harry's favorite ball.
I like this ball.
Great, dude. Well, I guess fuck me for trying to explain the sport to you. I guess we could have just jumped to Little Lord Orphan's favorite ball.
That's what that was the first draft of the name of Quidditch. I'm really disturbing the cat with my loud laughter. Every time I do that, he covers his face with his beautiful little wrist.
He's a sweet little angel.
He's a beautiful little angel that tomorrow we are taking on a short trip. So we gave him some drugs that the vet gave us, and that's made him very tired and tolerant.
Yes.
Which means that instead of shrieking and running from my laughs, he's just lying there with his beautiful dainty wrist over his little peepers.
He's a precious angel and he looks like he's resting peacefully.
Beautiful looking noses.
So in this...
So they take out the snitch.
Yes, they do indeed take out the snitch, which Harry says... He likes.
He likes it. And then he's like, the only ball I want you to worry about is this. I like this ball very much. And then this is the snitch. He's like, what do I do with it? And then Oliver Wood, if I remember correctly, says, what do you want to do with it?
Dude, out here, it's just you and me. Anything goes. Out there on the field, you catch this thing, game over. Just you and me. You guys just sing. We do whatever the fuck we want.
two guys in the prime of our life?
You 11 and me, Misk.
Dude, you and me with this snitch, we fill this fucking thing up, baby.
Last one to finish has to eat the snitch.
Man, we should end the podcast there, but we can't.
All right.
That's the closer.
All right, Tom, do you have any, are your feelings?
No, let's keep going because we got to get to the end of the scene, but that's really fucking good. That's so fucking funny.
Oh, God. So,
They have the snitch there. In this, Wood articulates explicitly our concerns with Quidditch, which is that he says, you catch this, we win.
Yeah.
He puts faith to it.
It ends the game. You catch this, Potter, we win.
Yes. So there it is.
That's a fun thing for you, Oliver, to I think I'm paraphrasing by saying, hey, Harry, I'm fucking useless. I don't mean fucking shit in this game.
Yeah.
Neither do Fred or George or anyone else playing in the game. So it's kind of just hinging on you.
All we need to do is kind of stall them out at like a level of mediocrity that you don't need to worry about. Mm. We can suck pretty bad. Yeah. Basically what we could do is just fly all of the team around our weird circles and we'd be fine pretty much.
Yeah.
The game is dumb. I hate the game. I have a note here that just says Oliver Wood explains the game of Quidditch, which is stupid and I hate it. Would you like some facts about Oliver Wood?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Canonically, Oliver Wood does not know what basketball is, though he does later, in the novel at least, try and practice with Harry with golf balls. So he knows what golf is, but not basketball.
Wait, I don't remember this. I do not remember this in the books.
Yeah, there's at least one moment where I guess I don't have the details in front of me.
Why?
But I guess he's throwing the golf balls and Harry is catching them or something.
Hey.
Or maybe they're practicing jerking off onto the golf balls and then eating them.
Yeah, and then swallowing the golf balls and being like, I hope it hatches into a snake.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Cool, right? So he doesn't know what basketball
is? I wonder if Sean knows what basketball is.
Probably not. He's Scottish.
Yeah, true.
Here is the Harry Potter wikis weighing in on his name. The olive branch often is a symbol of peace. The olive tree symbolism also includes a great harvest and long life. And Wood is a place name, like Brooks or Field, and suggests ancestors who lived near or in a forest, or who were woodcutters. It is possible that Wood was meant to be the opposite of the name Flint, the name of the Slytherin Quidditch team captain and Wood's rival.
That's not what opposites mean. Wood isn't the opposite of a fiery rock.
No.
That doesn't make any sense.
No, Wood and Flint go together to make Scary Spear.
My favorite thing, though, is that Oliver Wood has a name that is kind of like boy's name, Boner.
Yeah.
And Sean Biggerstaff is like, boy's name, Large Boner.
You're right. Sean must have been able to bring that unique energy to the role of rocking up in high school as just Johnny Penis. Hey, you want a fact?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Here it is.
Fact to me, Daddy.
Fantastic. Here is a Harry Potter fandom wiki. Oh, that was brutal.
It was pretty bad, huh?
Yeah. Hey, how do you feel about this? Snitches have flesh memory.
Yeah, I know that.
Okay.
Snitches have flesh memories. I didn't catch the first snitch with my hand. I caught it. I almost swallowed it.
I did not know that.
Yeah, you should have known it because
I've... worst shit I've ever heard.
Well, I've watched the fucking the movie where they talk about it about a million times in front of you and not cared about it.
I see.
What do you mean? Yeah, they have flesh memories because that makes it so the snitch knows who caught it first. No one else has ever touched the snitch.
Yes. So a snitch is never touched by human hands before a match and the makers wear gloves.
Yeah.
This means that every snitch is single use.
Yeah.
So like what happens to them?
Huh?
What happens?
I think we know.
They just get shot in the fucking head. Every Quidditch match is a little Melbourne Cup for these flitty little boys.
That's why they don't want to get caught. Sometimes Quidditch games go on for like 3 months.
Oh, that's long enough for the snitch to grow legs and arms and a mouth.
That's long enough for the snitch to be a half Ponyo. It's got those little chicken legs and arms running around. Ponyo loves Sasuke. And then someone catches it and it fucking brains.
They're like, no!
No! But no, yeah, that's the thing. That's why Harry is the only one that's able to, like, activate his first snitch to get the, okay.
Yeah. Okay, I did.
I have no strong feelings. I have a lot of knowledge.
Yeah. That is pretty much the end of this scene, though. We end with Oliver Wood explaining the snitch to Harry Potter.
Yep. And then I believe the next scene, what have we got coming up? What's the next scene?
As far as I can tell, we got Warwick Davies as Professor Flitwick teaching a charms class. Yeah. That is the freeze frame that we ended on.
Yes.
But
which, and can I say, and I'm sure I'll talk about this next time. He doesn't look. I don't know what's going on. I'm pretty sure Flitwick is a Benjamin Button because he does not look like that for the rest of the movies. He has no beard, no grey hair. He looks about 10 and he has like a side part and it's perfectly brown.
I feel like they made a lot of calls in this movie that they do end up reversing. An interesting thing
is that fat lady, yeah. Well, she beefed it though.
Yeah, she beefed. She completely beefed.
Yeah.
But it is interesting, like, having a film series pass through this many directors is crazy.
Especially because the first two were the same, though.
Yes, Chris Columbus got this job, which is so crazy to just have your job be to get the children when they can't act and don't know anything.
So your job
is kind of to turn out just – like, I feel like at the Prisoner of Azkaban chance
– yeah.
Azkaban point, there is a chance that you will make – a pretty good movie.
Yes. I think it
is a children's movie.
Absolutely. Absolutely. First two movies, absolute children's movies. I will say, I think the first two are so delightful to watch.
I'm loving this.
I love the aesthetic. I love almost everything about it. And I kind of love the little clunky bits.
Mm.
The last movie is just like, y'all, I watch him. It's never going to be, you know, as brutal as the first time you see it. But like, the third one, I will say, do you know who the director is for Prisoner of Azkaban?
Oh, gosh, I did, but it's escaping my mind right now.
So I will say that Prisoner of Azkaban, yeah, I would love for you to look it up, because I will say that Prisoner of Azkaban was like an automatic slam dunk. Like, Prisoner of Azkaban was a great book to read. It was still like, it was still short, but it was like packed full of shit that was just beautiful. We get to meet Sirius Black.
Oh, hey, this makes sense.
What?
It's Alfonso, fuck me, this is
what?
No good. Hey.
Alfonso Cuarón.
Alfonso Cuarón from, that was me clicking the Wikipedia pronunciation for his name. But so he is the guy who did Gravity. He did Roma. Oh my God. Well, he did Children of Men, which we've watched together.
Oh God, I love Children of
Men.
Directed
that. And Y Tu Mamá También, which is an erotic drama.
You Two Mama and Tambourines.
Anyway, he is like
my mum loves listening to Bono. Oh, and that good. shitty little drum.
It's so crazy that the guy who directed Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban also did Roma.
I haven't seen Roma. I know the tomato, though. But also, Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban blah, 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 was always going to be a slam dunk, I think, because there are so many cool things that happen in it. There's Buckbeak. Like, it's really, it's like, you know, kind of emotional in interesting ways. The first two, I think, would have been maybe a little bit, I don't know, challenging, but also it's a magical world. It's like, I think he had to establish how
this is
that
crazy
shit
because
happens.
Looking back, this could have been a flop and there might not have been any other Harry Potter films.
Totally.
Anyway, we are getting ahead of ourselves. And for me personally, I have no strong feelings about Harry Potter. All right. Well, that's the ep, I guess.
I've been Tom Walker.
I hate when we do this.
Bye.
I've been Tom Walker. That was Demi Lartner.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.